Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me this morning to Matthew 13? And as you're turning, let me remind you of this evening service. Come early to pray. And this evening, we're going to have one of our missionaries we support, have supported for years and years, Brother Scott Ennis, will be here this evening to share about the work in Africa. He's always an exciting minister and preacher, and looking forward to tonight what God would have to say through that service. I appreciate our folks, the way that you support missionaries, and missionary offering last Sunday night was a great offering, and I know that's where your heart is, and that's where God's heart is too. Amen. Isn't it good to have your heart where God's heart is? Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's this evening. Get a bulletin throughout the week. We got youth nursing home ministry and our family worship night and junior youth harvest party, and this coming Saturday our Elisha and Esther meetings, and be sure and keep abreast of that. Praise the Lord. Matthew 13. Well, we got the communion coming up to look forward to. We're going to get into the Word. I was trying to get the music started a while ago before church, and my daughter-in-law was sitting on the piano, and I got her and my wife's attention. I said, and my daughter-in-law looked back at me and said, "When you're preaching, I'm going to go." So I better get with it here. Good to see Brother Jerry here. I'm sure he'd rather been here last Sunday too. So good he's here. Praise the Lord. Matthew 13, the parables of Christ. We're hearing what Christ had to speak to us. Let's read Matthew 13, verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." I want to preach this morning on purchasing the pearl. Purchasing the pearl. Any person that truly recognizes the matchless worth of having Jesus will give all to gain Christ. When they really come to understand who Jesus is, they'll surrender all to gain Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd move by your Holy Spirit. Shut up my heart to the truth. Lord, you know every heart here, everything the people have faced this past week and will face the week to come. And I pray, Lord, you just move in our hearts, prepare us and speak to us and talk to us. And Lord, may through all the preaching we be aware of what we have by having Christ. Oh, what wonderful, wonderful gift and treasure that we have from you and your Son, Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. It was almost a footnote to the news, so I'm not sure that you latched onto it this week. But in Iran, there was a pastor, Yosef Nadarkhani. 2 years ago, he was arrested in 2009. Now, Pastor Joseph had been a Muslim, but he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it touched his heart. And he converted. He became born again. He became a Christian. God called him to preach. He started a church. He pastors a church. In 2009, the Iranian government arrested him for apostasy, from leaving the Islam belief and from trying to convert Muslims, because Joseph preached the gospel. For 2 years, he's been in prison. They keep bringing him to court and giving him an opportunity to recant his faith, to denounce Christ and return to the Islamic faith. This week on Wednesday was the third opportunity they gave him to denounce Christ. But he stood in court and said, "I will not denounce Christ." And the sentence was this Friday, he was to be put to death. How could he, knowing he was facing death, All he had to do was denounce Christ and he could have went on his way. How could he stand there and say, I refuse to denounce Christ? I refuse to turn from Christ. How could he face that knowing the sentence was death? I'll tell you how. He knew what he had in Christ. He had purchased the pearl. Hallelujah. He knew the treasure he had in Jesus. I read an interview this week of an esteemed philosopher. And as the reporter was interviewing him, he got the philosopher to talk about Jesus. And this philosopher, who's one of the smartest men anywhere, he began to talk about how Jesus, by suffering on the cross, has entered into our suffering. And the philosopher Kreeft is his last name. He began to weep and cry and say, oh, I love him. That's why I chose him. I love him. He's entered into our how could a man with such intellect, a philosopher, weep and cry when he's talking about why he's purchased the pearl? He knows what he has in Christ. How many knows what you have in Christ this morning? Oh, what a treasure. Oh, what riches. Oh, what a wonderful thing. We have Jesus this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. As we've been doing these parables, we're going to answer the question, first of all, what is going on? Brother Tim, just a little. Amen. What is going on? The kingdom of God through Christ had come to Palestine, but most in that crowd didn't even recognize it. Here they had the Messiah right in front of them. Jesus, he's offering hope. He's offering life. He's offering eternal life. He's offering heaven. And they don't even realize it. They refuse to even note it. The Messiah the Jews had longed for was standing in front of the Jews, speaking to them, and very few of them even took note. Amen. Very few of them let go of their pride, let go of their sins, let go of their prejudice, let go of their preconceived ideas enough to recognize and accept their Messiah. He said, I came into my own and my own received me not. Amen. There he stood, the matchless treasure of heaven, the desire of the ages, the hope of every prophet, the longing of every mankind, stood there and they failed to recognize and accept him. That's what Jesus, amen, is going on. When Jesus gives this parable, the greatest moment of these people's life, the greatest opportunity of their lives has come to them. Amen. Here is the answer to their problems. Here is their hope of eternal life. And yet they fail to recognize it. And many of them walked away that day and never even knew whom they had rejected. Oh, but there was a few in the crowd. There was a few that recognized what Jesus was offering. Their fishnets hit the dock. The tax money rolled off the table. Amen. They left their homes. They shut the doctor office door and they followed him. Why? They recognized that in that man Jesus was the eternal treasure and riches of God, and they purchased the pearl right there. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. How many's recognized what you have when you have found Jesus? That's what's going on. What is the earthly illustration? Actually, there's two this morning. They go together, both of them very short. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven's likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. I want you to notice this man, if he had to go buy the field, he wasn't the owner of it. He's just a farmhand. He's just a day laborer. You may be asking, what is a treasure doing in a field? Well, if you look in the map, that little piece of land we call Israel today connects three continents. And the armies and merchants of three continents had their crossroads in the land of Palestine. Not only do you have the caravans coming through with the goods, you have the armies marching through to battle from one continent to other. And every time they passed through Palestine, they picked up a few spoils from the people on the way. And people were accustomed to getting the news, another army's on the march. And they would gather together the valuables of their house, the coins, the jewelry, whatever valuable they have. And they would run to the field and they would dig a hole and bury it until the army had passed by and the danger was over with. But why was this treasure in this field? Well, the man had buried it to preserve it from the marauding armies. But either one or two things happened. Either those armies killed him, or he died before he ever revealed where he had buried the treasure. Amen. One of those two things happened. But now we have this farmhand. He's plowing in the field, and his plow strikes a foreign object. He knows that doesn't sound like an ordinary root. It doesn't sound like just another rock. There's something different in the sound. Either that or the heaviness of his ox fell through in the cavity where the treasure was buried. But that farmhand knew there was something different that day in the field. And he began to dig down there. And when he dug down there, they hid their treasure, not in chest as we would picture it in our Western mind. They hid their treasure in clay vessels. But when God hides his treasure in clay vessels too. How many knows we have this treasure I'm preaching about in these earthen clay vessels? Oh, but the man dug down and got the clay vessel. And in the clay vessels was a treasure of coins and gems and jewels. The man immediately filled in the hole over the clay vessels. He went and took every animal he had, every bit of land that he had, every house, and he sold it all. Went to the owner of the land and said, "Can I buy the land? How much you want for it?" The man didn't really want to get rid of it. Ask a high price. And the man said, "Here's some money. It's all I got, but I'm buying the land." He bought the land. Why? The Bible said it was with joy. He had found the treasure of there was no begrudging putting the coins on the table. There was no begrudging paying. He means selling everything he had because he had the joy of finding the treasure. Hallelujah. He purchased it all. You may be thinking here, wasn't that wrong? Amen. He knew it was in the other man's field. But in that time like today, there's still kind of a rule finder keepers. I mean, we as Christians, we try to find out who owns it. But if that man who owned the field knew that that treasure was there, he never would have sold it. It wasn't his treasure. Amen. You find a $100 bill on the floor of Walmart. Walmart don't own that $100 bill. Somebody does. If you're kind, you'll ask them. I wouldn't suggest you go to the service desk and have them give out an intercom message. Did you lose a $100 bill? If you did, come. Someone's got it up front. I don't suggest. I mean, we Christians, we'd try to find who owned it. But the point is, it wouldn't be Walmart's $100 bill. It wasn't this man who owned the field's treasure. Someone else had buried that in the ancient history past. But the point is, Jesus isn't trying to say that this man was even right in buying the treasure, buying the field to get the treasure. What he's pointing out is, look what took hold of that man when he found the treasure. He was wise enough to recognize what he had found. He was willing enough to sell everything. He took ever stringent, ever drastic measure possible to obtain that treasure, and he did it with joy. The point is, Jesus was saying, "I am the treasure in your midst. Are you going to give all? Are you going to come to me with joy? You can have the treasure that I am." Can you say amen? That's the illustration. But then Jesus gave another illustration. I want to tell you, by the way, everything that man gave up to purchase that field was more than compensated for by what he found in those jars. I want to tell you, whatever you give up to become a believer will be more than compensated for by what you have in Christ. Amen. Second parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Pearls were really in vogue in Christ's time. They hadn't always been in history, but it was kind of a fad and a fashion right then. Everybody wanted a pearl. The world of Christ was crazed over them. But see, the thing different with the pearl than the first treasure, it wasn't just the pearl's value, but it was also its beauty. Can I tell you, with Christ, it's not just his value to us, it's his beauty to us. Isn't he wonderful? Glorious. Hallelujah. Amen. When Brother Brian cries out, "What a Savior!" he's not just saying, "Oh, how valuable." He's saying, "Oh, how beautiful a Savior that we have." Hallelujah. That pearl, the man who found the treasures in the field had done it almost accidentally. He had stumbled upon the treasure. But the man who purchased the pearl, he had been looking, not necessarily for that pearl, but he had been looking for goodly pearls. I see a difference here. I know everybody that's seeking is really seeking for Jesus, but some don't know they're seeking him, and they almost stumble upon him. Amen. There's a track in the break room at work. A Christian neighbor moves in. They almost stumble upon this. Someone invites them to old-fashioned Sunday, and all they hear is pie and fried chicken. They don't really know what they're getting in on. And they come to church, and the preacher preaches, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten." They kind of stumbled over it. But when they heard it, they recognized the treasure. That's one kind of person. But there are those like the merchant seeking the pearls. They're looking for truth. They're looking for reality. They're seeking for something that's set up. They're on a quest. They're on a search. Those kind of people can find the treasure as well. Oh, hallelujah. I believe there's people in your neighborhood, at your workplace. There's folks at the grocery store. They're looking for something to satisfy. And we have the treasure. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. What was Jesus driving at? I'm going to have Brother Mike here put the two different parts from the two different pearls. Let me try that again. Parts from both of those parables, and you're going to see the parallel between them two. First of all, in the first parable, he talked about treasure. In the second, a pearl of great price. Even I've already been preaching it. But what was Jesus driving at? First of all, we should realize what we have found when we have found it. Both of these realized what they had found when they had found it. When you found Christ at youth camp, you didn't find just a good feeling, the excitement of the night. You found a great treasure. Amen. You know, the sad thing is, this really saddens my heart, but there are people that hear the truth week after week. Their parents bring them to Sunday school. They grow up in the youth group. There's folks that sit on a pew week after week and hear the truth and never really realize what they have found. Matchless. Value above all value. Many never recognize the value of having heard of who Jesus is. Amen. They're presented Christ through a message. The preacher pleads, the Holy Spirit through the preacher pleads to give your heart to Christ and preaches Jesus, and they don't even realize and take note of what a treasure Christ is to them. Can you say amen? You know, they have that antique roadshow program, and those appraisers will get on there and I'll make something up. There's a vase. They begin to talk about this vase, and they'll ask them, "Do you realize what you have?" "No." "Hey, how much you spend for?" "I bought it for $5 at a garage sale." "Do you realize what it is?" "No, I don't know what." "You realize who made it?" "No, I don't." And the appraiser will go through all that and say, and the price, you know, a good price, a conservative price would be $50,000 at auction. And the person's eyes get big, and then the appraiser will say, "What have you been doing? Have you been showcasing this? What have you been doing?" "Oh, we've been keeping our spare chains in it. You know, we come in at night, we just throw our spare chain." They never recognized what they had. Amen. There are some folks that have been introduced to Christ and never recognize who he is. I'm telling you, he is matchless. Paul said in Ephesians 3 verse 8, "Unto me who am the last and the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Read that last line with me. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I'd rather have have Jesus in silver or gold. Oh, hallelujah, what a treasure. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ is the riches of glory. Do you have him this morning? Do you recognize what you have? Hallelujah. And then in the parables, it says, when a man hath found the treasure in the field, the man seeking for the pearls, when he had found. Jesus trying to get across that once they were confronted with the thing of value, they were called to a decision. Were they going to have it or not? When they stumbled upon this, when they found it in seeking, they now, when they found it, were faced with a decision. What would they do with what they had found? There came a day when the farmhand found the treasure. There came a day when the merchant found the pearl. Amen. There was a day when God allows an individual to come face to face with their Savior. And I'm telling you, when that day comes, we are faced with the decision, what are we going to do with what we have found? Are we going to make it our own? Or are we going to walk away and leave it behind us? I believe it could be that way this morning. You're here. You don't know Jesus, but from the very beginning, when we begin to sing, oh, the blood of Jesus, God was showing you, you have found the thing that will cleanse you, change you, amen, make you a new creation. Amen. You have found that, and now you're faced with a decision. What are you going to do? How are you going to make it yours? Amen. Hallelujah. Finding a treasure would never happen to that. Improbabilities. Finding treasure would never happen to that farmhand again. Finding that particular pearl would never happen to that merchant again. That was a passing opportunity. I've seen God give people opportunity to accept him, and they've let Christ pass them by. They've let the opportunity come and go and never accept him. Oh, what a sad thing. A rare occasion that called for a decision. Don't let the opportunity, don't let the impulse come and go. Don't let that moment of God talking to you, that conviction, come and go. Now, only in the treasure parable it says this, for joy thereof. It doesn't mention it with the merchant, but if he'd been seeking goodly pearls, when he found such a specimen as he found, I guarantee you he got all excited too. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you this thing about Jesus. He's so wonderful. Amen. It's not something that's sad sack and sour. Amen. Notice what the farmhand, the Bible said, for joy. You mean when I get saved, I got to give up dancing and drinking and all that mess out in the world? Well, that sounds sour to me, but I guess if I'm going to be saved, I'll go ahead and give it up. I'll just go ahead and give. I'll sow my wild oats and have my fun, but now I want Jesus, and I'll have to give all that up. Oh, it's like a funeral. Amen. I'm telling you, getting saved isn't like a funeral. The Bible said, for joy, he sold everything that he had and purchased that field. I'm telling you, when you really find Christ, hallelujah, you ought to be excited. You ought to be joyful. You have found what your heart desired. For joy thereof. Then it said, of the treasure in the field, he goeth and selleth all that he hath. The man seeking pearls went and sold all that he had. They gave it all. I want to tell you, you can't halfway accept Christ as Savior. Let's try that. Lift your hand. If you're halfway happy, you might be saved. You can't halfway be this. You can't halfway confess, halfway give your life to God, halfway be born again. He asked for our all. You know why he asked for our all? Because he gives us his all. Oh, I wish somebody would shout, what a treasure. When you recognize what it is, you'll give your all. You can't invest just a little bit, a fraction of your life. You can't just devote one compartment or one day to serving Christ. It's all or nothing. Hallelujah. The Bible says of Moses in Hebrews 11, just one verse here, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Moses had it all. He had the treasures of Egypt. He had position. He had power. He had wealth. He had it all. But he gave it all up for Jesus Christ. Why? Because he realized the treasure of Christ is greater than the treasures of Egypt. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the world has a few things. But when you come face to face with Jesus, the treasures of Christ are more than the treasures of Egypt. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What did they do in the parable of the field? He buyeth that field. The man with the pearl, he bought it. He bought it. I was telling Andrew a few days back when I was his age, a little older, in my grandparents' backyard. I went and got my grandpa's auger, hand auger, fence post digger. It wasn't the clamshell kind, it was the turning kind. And my friend and I, we got some jars, and we began to put things in it, treasures, coins, and a little time capsule. And we dug that auger down in his yard as deep as we could get it, about 3 feet, pulled it out, put that jar back in it, buried it, put a tuft of grass on top of it, looked to the tree over there in the fence line, counted off the paces somewhere else, made a treasure map. Brother Leitner later lived in that house. You never knew you had a treasure in your backyard, did you? I told Andrew about that. He said, Dad, is it still there? And I said, probably so. He said, let's go dig it up. I said, the tree's gone. The map's gone. I wouldn't know how to find it. We'd have to dig up the whole backyard. But Brother Brock, if I could assure you that there were several jars there, Brother Bill, of gold coins. That house went up for sale a few years back. You'd been selling your chickens to buy that house. Hallelujah. They went and they bought. You would have bought that house because the treasures came with it. Oh, hallelujah. You know why some people have trouble serving God? They've never really bought into this thing. They like the good feeling. They don't want to go to hell. But they've never invested their life. They've never given their all. But I'm telling you, if you really realize what a treasure he is, oh, you'll give your all to the Lord. You'll surrender everything to him. You'll invest your life in it. They bought the thing of value. Now listen, we cannot buy salvation. Jesus is not trying to say that. But here's the thing. We can't have salvation and hold on to the thing of the world. When we let go of that thing, we're not buying salvation. We're just getting into a place where we can receive what God has. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got a girlfriend. She's out in California. You're about 26 now, all right? Amen. You're in love. You want to get married. But her mom's sick. She said, I really want to get married right now, but I can't leave my mother. You say, well, I got a house here. I got a car. I got a job. She said, I know, but I really love you. And you say, I love you too. Amen. You say, what I'm going to do, I'm going to sell the car, sell the house. I'm going to get on the bus or the airplane. I'm going to come out there. We're going to get married. Hallelujah. You didn't buy her love. You didn't buy your marriage. You just realized you were transferring what you had here into what you're going to have there. Hallelujah. You just took the value, what little that it was, that you invested there, and you put it in a better investment. He bought the field, but when he got through what he had in the pearl, he meant he had everything and more than what he had out there. And when you invest in Christ, you have everything you ever had there and far much more. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Those that scoffed about these two when they were selling their all soon had cause to envy when they realized what the two ended up with. People make fun of you giving your all, but not when they realize what you end up with. They appeared unwise, Brother Keith, to sell everything they had until it was made known what they had gained. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to embarrass you, Elizabeth. Will you stand up for a moment? Elizabeth sang Wednesday night. I've noted, I'm not around the youth a whole lot now, but I've noted in recent months her dedication to the Lord. She goes to a public school. She lives for God. She puts her heart into it. Even you know why? Because she's got it. She realized that what's in Christ, what she has found in Jesus, she'll never find out there. And so she said to the world, I'm selling you. I'm going to gain Christ. Thank you, Elizabeth. Hallelujah. Luke, will you stand up for a minute? This is a college kid. College young man. I've watched college students. All of a sudden, their professors know everything, and I'm not meaning professors. I'm talking about the ones that teach things that are goes against the Bible. The professor knows everything. Amen. Life has far more to offer than this serving God stuff. But I've watched Luke. He's in his second year of college. He stayed committed to the Lord. He stayed involved. He's singing in the choir. Why? Why? I know there's training. I know there's upbringing. But for himself, he's looked at Christ and he's looked at the world. And so all the treasure in Christ is far better than all that out there. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Brian, Sister Sarah, will you stand up? Amen. They could have done a lot of things with their life, devoted themselves to different careers. Why do they stay here with the young people and in the church? Why do they devote their life to this? I'll tell you why. They looked at Christ and what's in him, and they looked at all the things else, and they say, oh, I choose Christ. That's a far greater value. I want that. That's where my life is going to be invested. Thank you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. What I have found in him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Philippians 3, Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. Paul chose the treasure. All right, last of all, what do we do with these parables? Amen. I'm telling you, it's true today. We need to realize who Jesus is. Amen. I'm going to take a breath, and Livy's going to sing for me a song we know and love. Amen. You may want to sing with her, but wait till you hear her sing.
A little to Jesus I surrender, a little to him I sadly give. I will sometimes love and trust him. Presence sometimes live. I surrender a little bit. I surrender a little bit. A little bit to thee, my blessed Savior.
Is there any joy in that? My Katotas, he said, 2/3 of the guys in the barracks say that they're Christians. He said, no. Let's sing it just once. I know we got communion. I got to wind down. But let's sing it the right way just once. We have found the treasure. We will go with joy sell all that we have. Let's sing it just a chorus.
I surrender.
Not a little bit, all.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior.
That's the way it ought to be. Thank you. You can stay there, play if you want to or whatever. Believer, what should we do? Don't fail to realize the wonderful treasure you have in Christ. Many begin to fail to recognize and realize what a great value this salvation is, this eternal life. They let the smallest carnal temptations turn them back. They let the smallest offense become an excuse not to serve God. They let the approval of their peers cause them to lay down God's work for their lives. They let the discouragement of the moment cause them to let go of Christ. I'm telling you though, if somebody walked up and handed me a briefcase and I opened it up and there was $1 million in it, I don't care how black things looked at the job. I don't care how discouraged I might be. I don't care who's sick in my family. I don't care what the neighbors are saying. You're not going to get me to let go of the handle of that briefcase with the million. I'm telling you, when you realize what you have in Christ, it don't matter who's sick or not sick. It don't matter what your friends at school say. It doesn't matter the persecution at work. You know what you've got a hold of, and you're not letting go. Hallelujah. Secondly, believer, don't bemoan what you gave up to serve Jesus. I know people mean well, but sometimes their testimonies are confusing. They say, if I hadn't given my heart to the Lord, I could be a famous ball player now. If I hadn't served Jesus, I could be rich. Oh, if I wasn't going to church, I'd be having a lot of parties, a lot of fun. Amen. Listen, a Christian doesn't bemoan what he gave up to serve Christ, to have Christ. He's like Paul. He said, all of that meant so much to me, it's nothing more than trash compared. I don't bemoan what I have given up. I know what I have. Hallelujah. I know what I have. We used to sing, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so longed to crave. Jesus satisfies my longing by his grace. I now am saved. And then, believer, don't ever trade the treasure of Christ for something else. I know it's not in Jesus' parable, but I want to note that there were not only buyers in the parable, there were sellers too. That man sold that field and lived to regret it. That man in the market sold that pearl to that other merchant. He lived to regret it. There's sellers in this parable too. I've seen sellers in the house of God. Amen. I've watched young people that really had a hold of something. Their heart's on fire for God. I've watched them sell out for Christ. And I'm telling you, whatever you get for laying down Christ, you got cheated. You got ripped off. It's not a time to sell what you have. It's a time to keep a hold of it. Hallelujah. If all can't be given to gain Christ, or can be given to gain Christ, then Christ can also be given up for something else. What about it, believers? Don't let the passing moment dictate to you the value. That's what Esau did. He had the blessing of the family. He had the priesthood of the family. He stood to inherit even the double blessing, the double inheritance. But he got hungry, and when Jacob had a pot of beans, the Bible said Esau sold his birthright for a pot of beans. And we shake our heads and say, how could he do that? How could he turn down the family inheritance? How could he turn down the promise of Abraham for a bowl of beans? How could? But Christians do it all the time. Amen. You don't have to. Even in the passing moment of temptation, you can say, no, I don't want beans. I want the blessing. Hallelujah. I'm going to hold on to Christ. Last of all, believer, don't let your life reveal that you don't recognize what you have in Christ. Some people stand in church and proclaim that Christ is everything, and then they go out to the world and seek joy and fulfillment in something other than Christ, and the world takes note of that. You said Christ was everything. Why are you at our party? You said Christ is everything. Why are you gambling, playing cards and gambling with us? You said Christ is everything. I'm not even a believer. Why are you going out with me? Amen. Don't let it be so. If we have said Christ is everything, then may everything of our life and living make the statement to the lost, Christ is everything. What should we do? What about the unbeliever? If you're here and you're not saved this morning, you too don't fail to recognize what a wonderful treasure Jesus is. I speak hypothetically, but give me a second to do so. I speak tongue in cheek, but sometimes I tire trying to convince the unbeliever that they ought to want Jesus. I shouldn't have to tell them they should want Jesus. They should recognize He's everything they need. Try to beg people to pray and give their life to Christ, to see the value in this. And if you're an unbeliever here, you shouldn't need anyone to convince you. You ought to look full in His wonderful face and say, He is what I need. He's what I've been looking for. If you're here and you're an unbeliever, don't let the moment pass when you're confronted with the offering of Christ. I've seen those that let the moment pass. The Spirit was here. God was calling. The Spirit was wooing. The Word of God had come forth. It was the moment to wrap both arms around the feet of Jesus and say, oh Lord, forgive me my sin. But they let the moment come and go. And the sad thing is, for many, that moment will never come again. If you're an unbeliever and you're here and this is your moment, oh, you can see the treasure. You can see the pearl of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is dealing with you. Don't let the moment pass. Sell everything you have. Buy into Christ. And last of all, unbeliever, don't look at what you give up to serve God, but look at what you will gain. I've already preached that a lot, but the missionary Jim Elliot, you've heard it many times, that gave his life on the mission field, stabbed to death, speared to death. He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. If you're an unbeliever, whatever you give up, you're just giving up what you could never hold on to anyway, and you'll gain what you can never lose, eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. What about the church? What should we do? Two things, and I'm done. We must remember ourselves that we share the best news there is, not bad news. Amen. What we have to offer to this lost and dying world isn't bitter tasting medicine. It's not bad news. We got good news. We're offering the treasure of heaven to lost and dying and hungry and emancipated mankind. Amen. We're offering it to them. Secondly, church, here in the church, in all that we do, in every activity, in every ministry, we must keep Christ central. He's everything in the life of the church. He's everything in the. We don't have anything else of value to offer. I know we have social things. That's not much value. Amen. We have special events. That's not much of value. We have good facilities. And in the sense I'm speaking, that's not much of value. The only true thing of value that we have to offer a lost and dying world is a crucified Savior who has risen and is coming again, who will set them free and change their lives. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Have you found it? Would you rather have Jesus? I close with this. I forgot the man's name. But years ago in the 1800s, before you could transfer money and wire money, an entertainer had spent the last part of his career in Europe, gained quite a wealth doing so. He wanted to move back to America, so he thought of some way he could transfer all his wealth back to America. And what he did, he went and sold everything he had, took all the money he had in European banks, and got to searching until he found one diamond. And he put the value of all his money, liquidated, put the value of all his money, and that one diamond, put it in his pocket, got on the boat to head for America. But on those boats, they socialized, and he got to drinking, and the alcohol began to work on him. He got to bragging about what a diamond he had that represented his whole life savings, everything that he had. Got to bragging about that. They didn't believe him, so he went and got it and pulled it out, showed it to them. They could tell its worth. They oohed and they awed. But in the influence of alcohol, he began to show off a little more, and he threw it up in the air, several feet up in the air, and all the crowd knowing its value, and he caught it. He knew he was pleasing the crowd, so he threw it a little further up, 15, 20 feet, all the crowd. Oh, their mouths are open, they're gasping for it. He catches it. He threw it up again about 40 feet. I mean, they're really just all stricken. And then he thought, I'll do it one more time. I'll throw it so high they won't be able to see it. And he did. He threw it up so high they couldn't see it. But before they could begin to see it, and as it was coming down, a wave hit that big old ship and it lurched. Instead of coming back down to the man where he could catch it, it went and fell in the water off the side of the ship and disappeared in the depths of the sea, representing everything that man had from all his life. Why he got careless, he got reckless, he didn't recognize, he forgot what he really had. Oh, I'm glad I've got Jesus. Amen. We don't need to be playing around with our salvation like that man did his diamond. Once you get him, hold him close to your heart. Amen. Don't let some emotion, some bitterness, some temptation, some this, some that, take Jesus from you. Hold on. Amen. You've purchased the pearl. Keep your grasp on it. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise God. If you found him, worship him. He's truly wonderful. He's truly wonderful. Do you have a hold of him? Do you recognize what you have in Jesus? Hallelujah.